NFL insider, three-time Pro Bowler, Tiki Barber, how are you?
I'm good. How you guys this morning?
Good. Do you know exactly what number you were in the NFL draft year you were drafted?
And let's make you feel older. First of all, it was 20 years ago. So you're there. Yeah, now we're all that much older, right?
See, I only knew that because my 20-year reunion is coming up at the University of Virginia. So 20 years ago, I was drafted number 36. But back then, you know, there was only 30 teams. So it was the sixth pick in the second round, not the fourth pick in the second round.
Plus, New York, I've been to three of these things at Radio City. Now it's in Philadelphia tonight. So was there emphasis being a New York pick? We know the Jets and Giants fans show up, they're all in costume, there's makeup involved. What was right, like, and these were still Saturday afternoon drafts, right? So it was a long day, I'm sure.
No, it was, but it's different now than it was back then. I guess guys went to the draft in 1997, mm-hmm. but I don't remember it being as big of a deal as it is now, where the top, you know, 10 or 15 or so picks are invited by the NFL to go hang out wherever it is. This year, obviously, in Philadelphia.
Philadelphia, yeah.
But I was playing golf with my brother when I was drafted. I remember getting a call from the PR folks at the Giants and saying, you know, Coach Fossil is going to pick you at the next pick. And at the time, I was like, who the heck is Coach Fossil? Because it was his first year with the New York Giants. So it took me a couple of moments before I realized where I was getting drafted to.
All right, Ezekiel Elliott goes fourth overall to Dallas last year. That's kind of a change of the way things have gone. Are you surprised? Does it make sense that running backs have kind of fallen off from the top of the draft?
Well, I think that the devaluing of running backs happened a few years ago. And this is in how they're used in the game, but also how they're paid. Running backs aren't getting the acceleration, the appreciation of salaries like some of the other major positions in football. And it's because you can use two or three guys to fill the job of one. But there are a few teams that have started to go back to the old school way of doing things. The Pittsburgh Steelers being one with Le'Veon Bell. The Arizona Cardinals with David Johnson, who's just a dynamic all-around player. Both those guys are. And so you're starting to see that. Ezekiel Elliott was in that mold. I think Todd Gurley for the Los Angeles Rams is also in that mold. And so it bodes well that the cyclical rebound of running backs is coming back around. And it's why I love Christian McCaffrey in this year's draft, because he is that versatile, do everything back. And we've kind of forgotten the year that he didn't win the Heisman 2 years ago when Derrick Henry won. He rushed for 2,000 yards. I mean, he almost set an NCAA record for all-purpose yards. Now that included kick returns, but it just showed his versatility, and offensive coordinators love that in today's NFL because of how pass-happy their offenses have become.
Do you think teams sort of, they don't panic the day of, but as the draft gets closer, sometimes they may be more likely, Tiki, to reevaluate that quarterback position. A lot of mocks I saw 3 months ago, it's like, there won't be a quarterback in the first round, and Trubisky and Deshaun Watson. Somebody will make that. I mean, Johnny Manziel and Tim Tebow were guys also. Sure. And, you don't want to point as them as the poster children of why you should just not panic and take that quarterback. Because I think Deshaun Watson's going to be a good pro. Someone's getting, look at the accomplishments in college. Like, I can't turn down those kind of intangibles.
No, he's a winner, and it's not, and he's not coming with the baggage that Johnny Manziel had. Johnny Manziel was a winner, and he was also that non-pocket passer, mobile-type quarterback who would do these amazing things on Saturday afternoons in college football. Deshaun Watson was the same way, but he doesn't come with any of that baggage. He went to the national championship game twice and outplayed one of the greatest defenses in 2 years in college football history. And so that winner mentality, I think, will translate. Now, people aren't going to value him highly enough because he's got to make the transition. You know, he's not stout enough. He's got to put on some weight type of things. But they're going to find, and I think if you talk to Dabo or any of the other his teammates down at Clemson, they'll tell you, this kid is the real deal. So someone will get a steal with him wherever he goes if he doesn't go in the first round. But you're right about quarterbacks. There's always that, we're not going to take them. They're not good enough. We don't value them. But economically, it makes sense to take a risk in the first round because it's better to take the kid, especially now with the way the CBA is, and you're not punitive, punished for drafting quarterbacks high. Take him now, develop him. If he pans out, great. If he doesn't, you can part ways with him in 4 years as opposed to we got to go find this veteran and overpay him.
That's right.
And you don't know if he's going to pan out either. So it you know, financially, it's better to take the risk in the first round for the quarterback if you think there's a slight possibility he's going to pan out.
With Tiki Barber, NFL insider, of course, the NFL great running back. You mentioned one of the running backs, Christian McCaffrey from Stanford, and yet he's rated lower than Leonard Fournette from LSU.
Yeah.
So tell us about Fournette and why he is viewed as a better draft choice than McCaffrey.
Because he's a man. He's enormous. He's 240 pounds and he runs a 4.440. I mean, you don't find that very often in a running back position. He's got that I want to bowl over you mentality. Now, there are some injury concerns with him, but I think there is still this faction of old school scouts in the National Football League. They're guys that aren't looking at the metrics so much, but more so at the I look at the eye test, right? I went and watched that kid play, and he shows up on tape every single play. When he gets the ball, he's punishing opposing defenders. He is a game breaker in so many ways. And so he fits the old school model mentality of a running back, the guy that's going to get 30 carries and be between the tackles and 3 yards in a cloud of dust and sometimes bust through tackles and hit home runs. So I think the way that running backs used to be looked at, he's unbelievable because you don't see many of them like him anymore. But I think in reality, the way offenses are structured now, we see so many teams out of the pistol or out of the shotgun or spreading running backs out wide and shifting them back into the backfield and using all these versatile ways to use them that it's I don't want to knock Leonard Fournette, but I don't know if he's perfectly suited to do all of those things that a lot of NFL teams are looking to get out of their running back.
Tiki Barber joining us from CBS Sports Radio, 3 times to the Pro Bowl. The draft goes tonight in Philly, round one tonight, 2 and 3 tomorrow, 4 through 7 on Saturday. I feel like at the draft, people have asked probably you a lot about what's with the veteran quarterbacks. Everyone's kicked around the Kaepernick thing, but there's also Jay Cutler. Yeah. There's Robert Griffin III. There's Christian Pond. There's a bunch of guys, Ryan Fitzpatrick. I feel like after this, maybe this weekend, Tiki, and GMs get together and talk, there will be movement. I don't think Jay Cutler is going to be forced into retirement. That's a pretty good arm at age 32 to back up whoever your starter is. I feel like there will be movement on all the – Kaepernick, too. There will be movement on all these guys.
Of course. I mean, if whoever is looking for a quarterback, whether it's a starter, which there aren't a ton, to be honest with you, looking for a starter or a backup, if they don't get what they're looking for in the draft, then free agency heats up again. You know, there's two stages of it in free agency. It's that immediate moment right when free agency starts about 3 or 4 weeks ago where all these signings start happening. It's like, oh, we have to get that guy. We have to get that guy. We have to get that guy. And then there's that second tier of, well, we'd like to get that guy. Mm-hmm. We'd like to get this other guy. Or we'd like to get a backup quarterback like Jay Cutler. But there's no urgency to do it until after the draft and when we find out whether or not they fill the need. And so, yeah, you're right. The second stage of free agency, meaning the vet free agency, will happen right after the draft when teams realize, we have a hole here that we need to fill. Well, let's bring in Jay Cutler and let him compete. And if he beats out our starter, great. But otherwise, we'll sign him for a good backup number, and not the huge free agency numbers that they're giving to quarterbacks when they sign right at the start of the period.
All right, Tiki Barber. Before we let you go, Oakland had a hole to fill. Latavius Murray on the go, and now Marshawn Lynch. What's he got left? Is he going to be that Lynch, or what are the Raiders getting here?
Well, it's hard to say, because he had some issues in his last season with Seattle, but a lot of that was attributable to their offensive line. It was just beat up and some new faces that were there. And so it wasn't the consistency that we had seen for the 5 years prior. The interesting thing is that Oakland has started to build one of the great offensive lines. So we could see a resurgence in Marshawn Lynch in year one of this deal. The problem is he's 32 years old. And so we don't know, how much he, or 31 years old, however much he has left in the tank. As the old cliche is that once a running back hits 31, he's perpetually on the downside. But this signing was fantastic from my standpoint. One, because he's an Oakland kid, and I think filling the hole for Latavius Murray, as you said, was paramount. But two, there's a lot of fan ire right now for the soon-to-be Las Vegas Raiders, and bringing the hometown boy home, who is a star, meaning a bona fide NFL star with a brand around him, whether it's Skittles or Beast Mode, whatever you want to say, gives a little bit of a feel-good story for this Raiders. And now if they can carry that into the regular season and play great and start winning some games, maybe the fact that the Raiders aren't leaving won't be sitting so highly on fans' minds.